Good afternoon, 4:30 and 83 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Tanner Boyd.
It appears at this point that it's an isolated incident, that the shooter left immediately after the shooting, that it was isolated to just this part of the school.
A school shooting in Louisville this afternoon. Metro Police spokesman Phil Russell says one person sustained non-life-threatening injuries.
Two Martin County firefighters say they're lucky to be alive after their fire truck plunged into a creek.
And Senator Mitch McConnell is featuring a Moorhead woman in a new TV ad.
In sports, the Royals and A's take the field tonight in the American League Wild Card playoff.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy with dense fog developing tonight. Lows in the 50s. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A student at a Louisville high school is being treated for non-life-threatening injuries after a shooting this afternoon on the school's campus. The incident took place around 1 o'clock at Fern Creek Traditional High School in the southern part of town. Phil Russell is a spokesman for Louisville Metro Police.
They arrived and indeed found one victim. Fortunately, they do not have life-threatening injuries. Their injuries are non-life-threatening. They were transported to University Hospital. It was further investigation revealed that there was one shooter that apparently fled the scene immediately, left the premises.
Russell says police are continuing their search for the shooter. Students were evacuated from the high school as a precaution and were escorted to a nearby softball field. Police surrounded the 91-year-old building and remain on the scene.
Two Martin County firefighters are safe after their truck fell through a bridge. Rhonda Eastep and Gregory Alley of the Warfield Volunteer Fire Department were en route to a house fire early Monday morning in Pilgrim, about 10 miles south of Warfield, when they tried to cross a bridge on Blackburn Cemetery Road. That bridge collapsed while Alley was driving the department's main engine over it, and Eastep was a passenger. Both spoke with WYMT.
I was thinking about getting my partner out. That's what I was thinking about. The only thing I was thinking about.
I was thinking about my daughter and my son, actually. I had just gotten off the phone with my daughter not 30 minutes prior to, and it just broke my heart that she may not get to talk to me again. Tough. Very tough.
Other first responders were able to rescue the pair. Both suffered only minor injuries from the incident, but the fire engine cannot be repaired. With the bridge out, firefighters were unable to put out the fire at the abandoned house. But no one was there at the time, so there were no injuries as a result of the blaze.
Four Kentucky football players are facing sanctions after Sunday night's gun scare on the Lexington campus. Will Clark reports.
UK football freshmen Dorian Baker, Drew Barker, Tymir DeBose, and Stanley Williams have been suspended for Saturday's game against South Carolina after UK police identified them as the suspects behind the BB gun shooting on campus. Campus Police Chief Joe Monroe says the Fayette County Attorney will be involved before the Office of Student Affairs conducts an investigation. In a statement, head coach Mark Stoops says, quote, "If we have a situation which someone does not act according to our standards, we hold him accountable." Will Clark, KNN News.
The Kentucky counties of Nelson and Madison have been designated as high-intensity drug trafficking areas by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. The action means those communities will be able to secure more federal funding for overtime and other initiatives to fight drugs. Rick McCubin is chief of police in Bardstown.
Yes, it is bad news that we're in such a position that we need this help. But on the flip side, it's wonderful news that we're getting the help because we desperately need it in Nelson County. Nelson County has always been one of the areas that I guess people would call it wide open would be the term. A lot of drugs, a lot of cultivating, a lot of trafficking.
McCubin says he believes the 2013 murder of Bardstown police officer Jason Ellis was drug-related.
Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine says he thinks new laws are needed before executions can resume in his state. The Republican says the state needs a law that would shield the identity of pharmacies making a specialized dose of a lethal drug. He says a law is also needed to grant immunity to doctors who provide legal support in the execution process, such as consulting on drug dosage amounts.
Some 250 former employees of Southwest Regional Hospital in Georgetown, Ohio, are still waiting to find out when they'll get paid after the facility closed unexpectedly last Friday. They protested outside the Brown County Hospital Monday and met with the medical center's attorney, Rob Hoskins. He spoke to the group.
The owners guarantee that everybody's going to get paid, and we're hoping to get people paid this week. What's going to happen with the hospital is still an unknown.
The hospital was shut down at 5 p.m. last Friday after creditors demanded payment of a debt and court-permitted seizures of the hospital's bank accounts. One of the workers who lost his job is Sean Luther. He was an emergency room technician at Southwest Regional. Luther tells WLWT closure of the medical center is quite a blow to many people in the area.
They're going to have to travel anywhere between 25 and 35 minutes away to get that help from either Mercy or from going across the Maysville, Kentucky.
The Brown County Commissioners owned the hospital until 2011 when it was sold to businessman Paul Tufts. It has changed hands twice since then.
A $5 million construction project is coming to the city of Catlettsburg. MSPR's Kristen Brown has that story.
City officials in Catlettsburg have announced that a commercial development for an industrial engineering firm is in the works just outside the city. The Ashland Independent reports the site is being developed by R&J Development of Martin County. Professional land surveyor Ronnie Warricks and multimillionaire Jim Booth are combining to fund the project. The new EN Engineering site will provide comprehensive and dependable engineering, consulting, and automation services to pipelines, utilities, and industrial customers. City engineer Paul Amberge says the new development will not only help the city of Catlettsburg, but also surrounding cities by providing 160 full-time jobs. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Kristen Brown.
A West Virginia economic group has calculated that 5,000 jobs have been lost in the Mountain State since 2011, most of them in the state's southern coal fields. The West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy released its annual report today called The State of Working West Virginia. The report focuses on the lingering effects of the recession and the steady erosion of coal mining jobs in southern West Virginia, among other factors. It notes that coal production in the state has declined by 35%. Since 1997.
Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell's latest TV campaign ad features a woman from Moorhead. In it, Noelle Hunter thanks the Republican for leading the effort to help her rescue her daughter, who returned home this past summer after being kidnapped in 2011.
Mike's husband abducted our daughter, Muna, and took her to Mali, a dangerous part of Africa. I didn't know whether she was alive or dead.
Hunter says she readily agreed when officials from the McConnell campaign asked her to be in the commercial. She calls the experience awesome.
It is very cool. And we saw the ad before it came out. And so Muna was very excited that she was going to be on TV. And she thought that was exquisite. And so, yeah, it's very cool, super cool. And this morning I've seen the Washington Post has picked it up, the National Review, Roll Call, Politico, the Wall Street Journal. It's everywhere.
Hunter says she simply told the story of her daughter's rescue and homecoming while a production crew filmed her at her home a few weeks ago.
Former Kentucky Democratic Party chairwoman Jennifer Moore says the Senate race between Mitch McConnell and Allison Grimes will be decided by women. Moore offered her perspective on the contest Monday on KET's Kentucky Tonight. She says if the Democrat Grimes is to be victorious in November, she must rally women behind her cause.
Allison has to reach out even more to women voters. Women make up 53% of the electorate in Kentucky, and with their help, Allison can become the first female United States Senator from the Commonwealth.
But former Kentucky Republican Party Chairman John McCarthy says polling shows that Grimes does not have a big lead among women over the Republican incumbent. McCarthy also appeared on Kentucky Tonight. He says McConnell is holding his own.
I mean, the polls speak for themselves that, you know, there's no commanding lead on the women voter by Allison Lundgren Grimes or even Senator McConnell. And the fact that that's a 50-50 split is in the senator's favor, quite honestly.
The election for the U.S. Senate seat and Kentucky House and Senate races is 5 weeks away.
Workers from the Kentucky Department of Highways are doing some repaving work in Bath and Carter counties. Alan Blair is spokesman for District 9.
We have two projects on I-64, one in Bath County near Owensville, and then another project near Grayson in Carter County. Overall, about 12 miles of the highway roughly $7 or $8 million worth of improvements being done on those four lanes of I-64.
I-64 in Bath County will be getting new pavement between mile markers 123 and 129. Much of the paving work on I-64 in Carter County is complete, but one lane of traffic will remain until all striping work is finished. Blair says that those areas of I-64 under renovation are being limited to one lane during work hours.
As the calendar turns from September to October, Rowan County officials are looking even further ahead. According to Judge Executive Jim Nickel, the county's road crew is already preparing for Old Man Winter.
We are currently checking into buying one, maybe two ton trucks with salt boxes on the back and new blades on the front. We have two trucks that's getting pretty aged and not necessarily reliable, so we're doing that. We also have, as we speak, 600 tons of salt coming into our dome, and so we'll be prepared.
Nickel jokes that if and when ice and snow hits the county, he hopes that it happens after January 1st. That's the day he leaves office and begins his retirement.
Two nonprofit organizations in Ashland are at odds over a seemingly non-controversial issue, a one-mile race through downtown Ashland. AIM, or Ashland in Motion, has proposed the race be held just prior to the start of the city's annual Christmas parade on November 25th. AIM Director Danny Craig says it would be a fundraiser for the organization, and participating runners would be dressed in holiday costumes. City Commissioner Cheryl Spriggs believes it's a wonderful idea.
I think the people in Ashland would love it and just get a big kick out of people being dressed up and as elves or whatever and running in this mile race. And I, you know, if it's from 14th Street to 22nd Street to the park, I really don't see an issue. Although, you know, we're all concerned about safety, but you know what? We're adults. Let's just let them have a chance at it.
But some members of the Ashland Alliance, which sponsors the parade and the city's Winter Wonderland of Lights Festival, have expressed safety concerns about staging such a race. A trio of city officials has also done so. The Christmas parade often draws 20 to 30,000 people downtown, and officials worry about securing the streets for such a contest. Commissioner Marty Goot says that has to be the bottom line.
We had three department heads. All the public safety has to come first, and our chief of police, our parks department, and HR director, and also Marion Russell, who's heads over the streets, all had objections to it.
Goot and other commissioners say they hope the two groups can get together and resolve their differences.
The Greenup Old Fashioned Days is taking place again in Greenup. MSPR Sam Steyert reports.
The Ashland Independent reports the family-friendly event begins next Thursday around downtown Greenup. School bands and choral groups will perform on the first day. On Friday, the McConnell House will once again host a 9 a.m. auction. The afternoon moves into a baby pageant, a cowboy shootout, and live music. Artwork and a car show will be featured on Saturday. The 15th annual Old Fashioned Days tractor show, tractor pulls, and more happen on Friday and Saturday. For MSPR News, I'm Sam Steyert.
And finally this afternoon, Murray State University is projecting record enrollment for the third straight year. Paul Miles has more.
Preliminary figures show this year's enrollment at Murray State University is 11,166 students. That's a 2.5% increase over last fall. According to the university, categories of students experiencing the most growth include first-time transfers, new master's-level students, and international students.
That was KNN's Paul Miles reporting.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the cities of West Liberty, Carlisle, and Mount Sterling. Tonight, partly cloudy, then becoming mostly cloudy with areas of dense valley fog developing late, lows near 50 degrees. Tomorrow, areas of valley fog early, otherwise mostly sunny with highs near 77. And for your Thursday, partly cloudy with highs in the lower 80s. It's 81 in Ashland currently, 81 in Flemingsburg, 78 degrees in Inez, 85 in Lexington, 82 degrees in Winchester, and in Moorhead it is currently 83 degrees.
4:45, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, since Kentucky began enrolling people in its health benefit exchange 12 months ago, more than a half million Kentuckians have signed up. Now there's a new kind of campaign taking place to help other Kentuckians enroll. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre reports.
Cancer survivor Leanna Watson shares her own story of having lived without health insurance, as she now helps others enrolled in Kentucky's health benefit exchange known as Connect. She's what's called a connector, one of nearly 1,500 people statewide who are trained helpers. As Watson puts it, she holds your hand through the process.
We're talking about people that are scared. They do not understand insurance. Some people look at it as something they're made to do. Some people look at it as something they really don't have to have. They don't know what questions to ask.
The next open enrollment period begins November 15th. But Watson says she remains busy in the nine central Kentucky counties she serves, helping people who are immediately eligible for coverage because of life circumstances. More than a half million Kentuckians have signed up for insurance through the new health care law. Watson, who lives in Harrodsburg, was one of the first. A survivor of salivary gland cancer, she says until Connect came along, she had been unable to obtain coverage because of her pre-existing conditions.
It's like flying without a parachute if you don't have insurance. You never know when something's going to happen.
Now, Watson says she uses her family's experiences to illustrate to others why the health benefit exchange is important.
People think that their taxes are going to go up. They're worried about the cost. And I try to explain to them that we need to make Kentuckians healthier.
Watson's job as a connector is through the Bluegrass Community Action Partnership, one of the agencies that supplies helpers to the state. More than 1,800 licensed insurance agents are also registered with Connect. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
It is 4:47. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news is coming up on All Things Considered from National Public Radio at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And sports is up right now.
The road to the World Series is upon us.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Mountain Edition Sports. I'm Zachary Savisky. Baseball's second season, the playoffs, get started tonight with the American League wild card game. This evening's matchup has Oakland playing the Royals in Kansas City. For the A's, this is their third straight trip to the postseason, while the Royals tonight's game marks their first trip to the playoffs in 29 years. Record-wise, the A's finished the regular season with 88 wins and 74 defeats to finish second in the AL West, while the Royals were second to the Tigers in the AL Central with 89 wins. As you would expect, the pitching matchup is a good one, with John Lester going for the visitors against James Shields. Lester was 16-11 with a 2.46 earned run average this season, while Shields was 14-8. Against the Royals, Lester is 9-3 lifetime with a 1.84 ERA. The A's and Royals met seven times during the season, with the Royals coming out on top five of those games. The winner of tonight's game faces the Los Angeles Angels in the AL Division playoffs. Authorities say Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps has been arrested on DUI charge in Maryland. Transit police say they stopped the 29-year-old Phelps at the Fort McHenry Tunnel in Baltimore around 1:40 a.m. Tuesday. Maryland Transportation Authority police say Phelps was going 84 in a 45-mile-per-hour zone. Phelps has been charged with driving under the influence and excessive speeding. This is Phelps' second DUI charge in Maryland. Phelps is the most decorated Olympian of all time with 22 Olympic medals. The Oakland Raiders have promoted offensive line coach Tony Sparano to interim coach to replace the fired Dennis Allen. General manager Reggie McKenzie announced the move Tuesday, a day after the decision was made to fire Allen four games into his third season as coach. Sparano had a 29-32 record as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins from 2008 to 2011. Sparano has been the offensive line coach for the past two seasons in Oakland. Sparano becomes the Oakland's eighth coach in the past 12 seasons, and the Raiders have not made the playoffs or had a winning record since the 2002 AFC Championship. The NFL says Kansas City safety Hussein Abdullah should not have been penalized for dropping to his knees in prayer in the end zone after an interception in last night's game. NFL spokesman Michael Signora writes an email to the Associated Press that the officiating mechanic in this situation is not to flag a player who goes to the ground as part of a religious expression. Signora says there should have been no penalty on the play. The FCC wants to end sports blackouts. The Federal Communications Commission has voted to spike a decade-old rule preventing cable and satellite operators from airing sports events that were blacked out on local TV. The commission says the rule was outdated and unnecessary. It was originally adopted to help boost ticket sales in the 1970s. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler says NFL teams have hidden behind the rule for 40 years, but no more. But Wheeler acknowledges it may not spell the end of sports blackouts. The NFL would still be able to privately negotiate its own rules with cable and satellite companies. Those agreements just wouldn't have to have the backing of the federal government. In Kentucky football news, Coach Mark Stoops is trying to keep his team focused as it prepares to host South Carolina on Saturday. As the Wildcats prepare, they have to deal with the suspensions of their four freshmen, running back Boone Williams, wide receiver Dorian Baker, defensive end Tymier DeBose, and backup quarterback Drew Barker are also facing possible charges after being accused of shooting an airsoft pistol on campus Sunday night. Stoops, meanwhile, says beating Carolina could depend on UK's ability to start fast and maintaining that momentum, something that's been tough at times for the young Cats to do.
We need to be more consistent, and I've said it over and over, and our team is starting to get that at times, but we're just, it comes down to being a fundamental football team, and on both sides of the ball and on special teams. We just need to continue to improve and worry about ourselves and get better at what we're trying to do.
South Carolina, meanwhile, will be looking Saturday to rebound from last weekend's 21-20 loss to Missouri. The Gamecocks took a 20-7 lead into the fourth quarter of that contest. Calling it an extra week of work and not an off week, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenyer says his Eagles got a lot done during the bye week on their schedule. As MSU prepares to entertain PFL foe Campbell on Saturday for homecoming, Tenyer says he and his assistants took the Eagles back to school to sharpen their basic skills. He believes that mission was accomplished.
Well, I think it was. We tried to put a little bit of an emphasis on special teams and reevaluate some areas there and make sure our coverage teams were cleaned up a little bit. And also, you know, like you said, go back to fundamentals a little bit, work on some individual type stuff, but also get a jump start on Campbell as well.
Campbell will meet MSU after scoring a 34-24 conference win over Valparaiso this past Saturday. The Morehead State Volleyball Eagles hope a match with arch nemesis Eastern Kentucky tomorrow night will finally net them their first victory of 2014. Weekend losses at Tennessee State and Belmont left MSU 0-15 overall and 0-2 in league play. Coach Jimmy Gordon says the 7 p.m. contest with the Colonels will be a tough one, but it will also present MSU with a great opportunity.
We anticipate a fun one just because it's a rivalry game. It's nice to have it at home. It's good to be back home. But it's going to be a key test for us. And I think EKU is one of the top teams right now in the conference, and so we have an opportunity to play them on our home court, and we need to make sure that we do everything to take advantage of those.
EKU will roll into Weatherby Gym with a 12-6 overall mark with the Colonels. The Colonels are 2-0 in the conference. In getting his program turned around, Morehead State softball coach David Williams says the Eagles need better pitching, but admits signing talented hurlers isn't easy. Williams says if a high school girl can pitch, everyone knows who she is, and the recruiting competition is fierce. To have any shot at signing a top-flight prep hurler, Williams says mid-majors like MSU have to find and recruit that player's 2 to 3 years before she graduates.
One of the pitchers we have coming in this fall, she's one of those that we got in on early enough, and this might be the first one we've been able to do that with before too many people found out about her. So when you're doing it, you got to kind of beat the bushes a little bit, find those players before some of the bigger schools find out about them. But even then, sometimes, I mean, even after you get them, you still got to worry about some of the bigger schools coming in and scooping them up.
The hurler Williams speaks of Mackenzie Grossman of Perry, Missouri, was a first-team All-State Stater last season at Mark Twain High School. It's a big one tonight at 8 in Schuster Field as the Round County boys soccer team squares off with Boyd County. While the Vikings are 12-3-1 this fall, the Lions sport a 11-2-1 mark. According to Round coach Max Hammonds, this evening's contest is a chance for the winner to make a huge statement about who's going to win the 16th region.
Yeah, it really is. You know, they're coming in with, you know, one regional loss. We don't have any regional losses yet. I mean, it's a pretty big game to see how see where things are at. I mean, I feel like we're the one of the best teams in the region. I'm sure they feel that way too. So it'll be a big matchup.
Thanks again for tuning in to Mountain Edition Sports. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Zachary Sinviski.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football hosts Campbell University during Moorhead State's homecoming weekend this Saturday, October 4th. Game time is 1 p.m. at Jane Stadium. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks fell with equities posting September losses and quarterly gains as portfolio managers engaged in end-of-quarter positioning or so-called window dressing. And the Dow Industrials lost 28.32, finishing at 17,042.9. The S&P 500 was down 5.51 at 1972.29, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 12.46 at 4493.39. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 19-11 in favor of losing stocks over winners. eBay climbed after the online auction site said it would split from PayPal, its payments unit, early in 2015. Equities had declined, especially after the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index came in at 86 for the month of September, down from 93.4 the month before. The S&P Case-Shiller Index of Property Prices came in below expectations, rising 6.7% from the prior year, and the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index for September came in at 60.5, less than the expected 61.9 estimate. McDonald's was actually among your worst performers of the 30 Dow stocks today, while Visa was among your better performers. And the blue chip average, the Dow Jones, was off 1.6% for the month of September, but it did finish with a gain of 0.6% for the quarter. The dollar rose against U.S. currency rivals, and the 10-year Treasury note rose 2 basis points in yield to finish at 2.5%. Crude oil was down sharply, down $3.41 to finish at $91.16 a barrel, and gold for December delivery lost $7.20, finishing at $1,211.60 an ounce. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated down $1.63 at $104.08, CSX down 20 cents at $32.06, AEP up 3 cents at $52.21, AK Steel down 32 cents at $7.99, Marathon Petroleum up 27 cents at $84.66, and Windstream was up 14 cents, finishing at $10.78. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And recapping the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Martin, Robertson, and Mason tonight. Partly cloudy, then becoming mostly cloudy. Areas of dense valley fog developing late, lows near 50. Wednesday, areas of dense valley fog early, mostly sunny, highs near 77. Wednesday night, mostly clear, areas of fog developing late, lows around 55. And then on Thursday, look for partly cloudy skies with highs in the lower 80s. Around the region, it is 81 degrees in Ashland and Flemingsburg, 78 degrees in Inez, 85 degrees in Lexington, 82 degrees in Winchester, and on the campus of Moorhead State University, it is 83 degrees. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Tanner Boyd, Joshua Grandison, Nathan Gutierrez, Zach Sinviski, Patrick Davis, Kristen Brown, and Sam Steyer. Greg Stottlemyre from the Kentucky News Connection did our feature story this afternoon. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.